Okay, now we go. All right. I'm going to start here. I think we all like to hear about grace, but I want to try to make this to where it'll begin to really sink in, God's grace, what it really means. And I know it'll never come out the way I would want it to, but we'll start with Romans 5, 6, and 8 here. It says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps a good man, someone, would even dare die. But God demonstrated his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Sometimes it's hard to comprehend this, but as sinful as man was and is, he decided that he was going to make a way, to provide a way, to give us some hope. And you know, God was good because before I was even born, he had already died for me, before you was, 2,000 years ago. God's grace is that powerful that it'll go all the way back to the day he died. But it goes greater than that. I want to say this first. God's grace is now holding back his wrath. You see, God's been good to us. He gives us water. He gives us rain. He gives us crops. Our crops grow. You think they just grow? No, he provides. His grace and mercy is always out there for mankind. He's been good to us. But you think about Noah a minute. That world of Noah, if you read about it, had gotten so wicked that God couldn't stomach it any longer. He said, man has gotten so wicked that he said, I'm just going to destroy the whole thing, just get rid of it. But he didn't do that right away. He gave a man out there to start preaching for 120 years or so, a man named Noah. And while he was doing his preaching, God said, I'm going to hold my wrath back. I'm not going to let this world be destroyed because I got someone out here that's going to preach. Someone out here to give a message of hope that maybe somebody will get on the boat. And 8 people did get on that boat. But if he hadn't held his wrath back, the world would have been done in. There'd have been no hope. For me and you, the world been gone. But he, in his grace, waited. He waited until Noah could preach. And he waited until someone would get on that boat. And you know, that's the same thing going on today. He's waiting right now for you, for us to get on the boat, so to speak, to get into Christ because he's wanting us all to be saved. But this grace I'm talking about now is not a saving grace right here. This holding back that wrath, that's not a saving grace. See, everybody got grace on them right now. God is patient with you. He's holding back for this world. But, there's a but. He had a plan. God's plan is for all to be saved, have saving grace. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us, watch this, just as he chose us, well, when? in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure. This plan was put in place of salvation before the world was even created. Hadn't even started yet. There was no people, no nothing. And God said, by grace, I'm going to put a plan in place, predestined a way for man to have saving grace. And all that was programmed, if you will, or put in place before the world was even created. And he chose you, he chose me, he chose anyone that would make a choice to come into his son. All of this was done because God wanted us to be saved. He wanted us to be saved, and he wanted us to have a relationship with him. And he's had to go through a lot for this to take place. And we go back to before the world was created. He evidently knew that Adam and Eve was going to sin before they even was created. He knew sin was coming. He knew the man, what was in us, or what was going to be in us. He said, well, wait a minute. That makes God awful smart. He said, the Bible says God knowed everything from the beginning to the end. You see, he knew what was coming, so he had a plan put in place. He predestined it. That don't mean he chose Peggy, but he left Calvin out or someone else. He didn't do it that way. He didn't say, I'll choose you, but you ain't got no hope. I'm not going to choose you. Some people teach that. No. The plan is what he put in place. That anybody that would come into that plan and follow through can have salvation. I want to make this point too. God's eternal plan was to save all the world, not just the Jewish nation. Get that? The Jewish nation had its reason for coming, to bring Christ and the law of Moses. But that wasn't the eternal plan. The eternal plan was to save the whole world by his grace. And that is talking about you and I, or anyone, 100 more years from now, if there is another 100 year, they too can be saved. But remember, there's one day coming that the boat will float, the boat will leave, the world will be destroyed again, not by water, but by fire. We want to make sure that we own the boat. And I keep saying that because it's the same illustration. When you in the church, it's like being on the ark, so to speak. You got to be on the ark. And the only way you get on the ark is be in Christ. See, salvation, if you're going to get in the plan, this is how it happens. Because it's part that we have to play in this. But salvation of grace only comes when we will obey God's plan to get salvation. And this is, we start here in 6:1 of Romans 4. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? No, certainly not. How shall we die to sin and live any longer in it? Now he's talking to Christians. Or do you not know that as many of you were what? Baptized into Christ Jesus, was baptized into his death. Therefore we were buried with him through baptism to death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in what? A new life. See, in order for us to be into the church, you've got to be in Christ. And to get into Christ, you've got to be immersed into Christ. Y'all know what Peter said on the day of Pentecost. Repent, be baptized, every one of you. Why? To receive salvation, to have your sins forgiven. That providing that we believe Jesus is who he says he is. And that he was buried in a tomb and raised from the dead. There's some things we got to do and believe to get this salvation that been promised from the foundations of the world. God had a plan, and we need to fit into that plan. Seems simple enough, but once we get into the faith, we got to stay in it. You're going to jump ship. Can you imagine somebody on the ark saying, you know, this is getting really rotten up in here. These animals smelling like they are, and I done got tired of you. I can hardly live in this tight quarters, and I think I'll just jump ship. Well, go ahead. What's the safest? In the ship? Right there. Same principle to my idea here. Because people got to understand how serious this is. In God's mind, this is salvation. Eternal salvation. That we all going to be faced with in life. Whatever age we are. Whatever time period it may be. Go back to the 1800s. Go forward to another 1,000 years if God gives us that. It's the same principle. One salvation for the whole world. All over. From now on. And then we come to a place to watch out. Watch out. Watch out. But watch out for false teachers who teach a loose grace. Watch this. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith. Contend. Stay in there. Which was once for all delivered to the saints. It's done been delivered. Ain't another message coming. Once for all, for certain men, now watch this, for certain men have crept in unnoticed. Kind of slide in. Don't even know what's happening. Who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turned the grace of our God into lewdness and denying the only God and our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, today there is a message out here in our world, if you know anything about the faith, who say once you saved, you cannot be lost. Isn't that a good feeling to know that once we saved, we can't be lost? Wow. The trouble is, that's a lie. That's the devil's idea for you. And it's a very serious situation to teach such a teaching as that. Let me give you a scripture. There's a danger of falling from grace after we're saved. In Hebrews 12:14-15 says, pursue peace with all people and holiness without which no one will see the Lord. What'd he say? Look carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness spring up and cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. If you know anything about the book of Hebrew, what was going on, the true church, salvation had been given, and many of them was bailing out, jumping ship, going back to the law of Moses. Some of them was trying to put the law and Christ together. Paul told them over there, and I didn't put it up here, Paul told them over in the book of Galatians, he said, if you go back and try to hook the law and Christ up together, you've fallen from grace. Who? Why would anyone in their right mind who has the grace of salvation upon them saved and then walk out? How foolish. Do you know what would happen on the day of judgment? Can you imagine that knowing that we had salvation and God said, you know, you love me, you walk with me, I gave you my salvation, I gave you my grace, and then you turn and walked away. But I can't do nothing for you now, because that grace is no longer for you. Well, that would be a terrible place to be, find yourself. What would be the outcome of that? You know what? The Lord would say, away from me. The only thing I can give you now is hellfire. That's how serious it is. This thing of grace, God is merciful. He loves us. He's given us grace after grace after grace. Why would we abuse that? Or even consider it? The grace of God should teach us to live godly. God's grace should teach his people. Listen to what he says. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Teaching us. What? Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present age. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people for zealous works. Salvation, the grace of God should teach us a different way of life. And I don't have to be the first to admit, it's a teaching that takes time to walk and learn to follow him. But in the long run, it'll pay off, trust me. But he's saying here that his grace should teach us to live better. To watch our lips and mouth, how we talk. Watch our actions, how we do and act. That's what he's saying. That's what grace should do for us. The grace of God should teach us how to care for one another. Did you know that? God's been good to me and graceful to me. I should be grateful and grateful to give you grace. We should pass it on. 1 Peter 4, 7-10 says, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. What's a hard one, ain't it? Without grumbling. You know, you could do things for somebody. Well, I wouldn't have to do that. I do it, but I don't want to. You know, you could be grumbling. Yeah, that's the wrong heart. You do it without grumbling. And verse 10 said, as each one has received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards with the grace of God. You don't think you have a gift, but you do. Everybody has a gift of some kind. Might not be up here preaching, might not be a teacher, so to speak. But there's other things you could do. Encourager. Someone that prays for me. You know, prayer is very important, and you could be a prayer warrior, and that is very important. Trust me. So there's other things we could do for each other, and we should do for each other. That's what he's saying here. He said, help us, Lord, to be grateful or have grace for one another. Because you know as I know, when you put people together in a group, it won't take long. You're going to need some grace. And they will need some grace. Because we bump heads. We get mad at one another. Oh, I can jump ship. Yeah, I can do that. That's not what God wants. He wants us to learn to love and live with each other with grace. And again, I have to say, though, this is a teaching. We learn as we go how to do that. You know, God has been good to us, and we, you know, one of our greatest witness for him is our life. You could teach people. You get the opportunity to tell people about Christ, you should. But our life says a lot. How grace should it impact others in our life? Some examples of grace at work. And John 1:14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father. This is talking about Jesus, full of grace and truth. I want to make this point, the reason I put it in red, because I have to remember it. I'm a little slow. You know, you can't have God's grace without truth. Truth and grace go like that. They hand in hand. Now, when I say that, you could have grace for other things, but God's grace and truth have to work together. And that's important. Jesus, this is about him. This is who he was. He was very grateful to people. He was gracious. He was loving. He gave his grace, but he also gave truth. That's what we got to learn to do. It's very important. Luke 4:22 says, so all bore witness to Christ and marveled at his glorious words, which proceeded out of his mouth, and they said, is this not Joseph's son? Our speech says a lot. It really does. We could be very harsh. We could be damning. We could be lying. We could say a lot of things from our speech, but one thing we should remember, to be like Jesus, gracious words. You know, how we say things sometimes more important than what we say. We can say the same thing and get it across two different ways. We can say it hateful, or maybe we can say it graceful. This thing of grace is God's way of handling things. And old Apostle Paul, bless his heart, y'all know how he was. Old Paul says, follow me as I followed Christ. And he said that at another place. I just put his title there. In Colossians 4, 5, and 6, he said, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside. Redeem the time. You know, time's important. You know that. Let your speech always be with what? Grace. Season with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Now, grace is important how we say things. Grace, I give you a graceful attitude, a graceful way of saying something, but don't forget the salt. That means you put a little preservative on there, so put some strength behind it. You know, that's a pretty big order when you start thinking about it. God wants us to show the world how graceful he really was, or is. This is my last slide. The grace of our Lord understands our struggles, because now that we've went through this, you know you have a struggle like I do. Because we all struggle with trying to live this Christian life at times. That's why I need your grace. That's why you need mine. Because we understand that we fall short sometimes. Or maybe y'all don't, but you know, sometimes all of us can find ourselves out of place, failing at times. But thank God for his grace. Watch what he says here in Hebrews. Seeing then that we have a great high priest. Who was that? Jesus, who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Don't jump ship. He knows our failures. He knows we trying, but sometimes we don't quite get there. He said, come to me. Come to me. I'll help you through this. He said, verse 15 says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. You know why? He went through this life too. He dealt with people too. He went through really more than we have. But he walked this walk. He knows how tough it is. Especially when he's in getting ready to go to the cross. He was wrestling with this world and what he had to do, because he didn't want to die. He didn't want to die. He had to wrestle with this, and then he finally told his Father, your will be done, not mine. But he lived this life, so he knows how to sympathize with our weakness. But was in all points tempted as we, yet without sin. Boy, that's amazing to me how he done that. How he could walk this earth, living in this pig pen that we live in, go through life without a sin. But let us therefore come freely to the throne of grace, praise God, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. That time of need starts when we realize that we are a failure. And we need Christ. And he gives us a chance to come to him, make our confession, have a baptism, get ourselves, our sins washed away, get in a relationship with him, but it don't end there. That grace continues daily. weekly, yearly, or whatever, every day of our life. And when we get to a place in our life that we feel like we've done fell so short that some people give up because the devil's done told them they got no hope no more because they done sinned too much or they done went too far. But that's not true. I do not care what you've done. I don't care murder. Did you know, and I'm going to say this, and I guess it's the right way to say it, I should say it. Maybe better not. What I want to say is try to get us to see. Well, let me do it this way. Hitler. I don't know of anybody that probably is any worse, maybe, than Hitler was. But you know, he could have been saved. Paul, the apostle, he killed Christians before he was saved, but God gave him the grace to overcome. I don't care what you've done. God's grace, that throne of grace is there. Because you see, when it comes right down to it, it's not about our perfection. It's about our acknowledging that we need Him. Because He said, I've taken all your sin upon myself. Everything that you've ever done in your life, everything that's evil, bad, or maybe not so bad, everything that we've done, He took it right there. He said, bring it on, and I got it. In Judgment Day, if you stand before Him, we all will stand there. We all will. Where are you going to be? Lord, you're my Savior. I know without a shadow of a doubt that every sin that's ever been in my life, you've taken it. And that ought to make us think a little bit about our walk and the way we live and how merciful He's been. We owe it to Him. Y'all know that? We owe it to Him. Somebody do that for me? Somebody do that for me? What else can I say? God, you know, I lost. There you go. See, the grace of our God is amazing. We're going to sing that song in a minute, but take time in your prayer life, in your everyday life, to ask God a question. Why did you give me that grace? Do I really deserve it? And I think if we're honest, I think we all can say, no, I don't. If it was grace coming from you, I could understand. But we're talking about God of the universe. The one who created everything that we see out here. The one that created this world. God Almighty. Who didn't have to do nothing for us. He could have wiped Adam and Eve off right at the beginning. He could have said, y'all, you guys done messed up. I'm done. Wiped them off. No world. Didn't do that. We talked a little bit about grace this morning, but Calvin did, but see, that's why he was knocking on that church door that he talked about. I don't know if was that a Sunday school, I think. He was knocking on that door, church door. He was outside. that the church and pushed him out. He didn't go nowhere. He's out there. Will y'all let me in, please? I know this is how much I love you. I want to be with you. Why did you push me out? You see, this is what God has done for us, and we want to give him praise for that and the way we live and what we say. Good. Well, y'all can stand. We'll sing a song.